I was going back and forth with her trying to get this date on the books. And then I asked her some other question, right? I asked her some other non-sort of meeting question. And then Amy answered me, and she told me that actually she was an AI bot.
Welcome to the Cloud Accounting Podcast, a show for accountants and bookkeepers using cloud technology to make their jobs more strategic and impactful. I'm Blake Oliver.
And I'm David Leary.
Today, as our special guest, we have Dr. Sean Stein-Smith on the podcast. He is a CPA and assistant professor at Lehman College in New York. He is a member of the 2017 AICPA Leadership Academy and was also named a 40 under 40 in the accounting profession for 2017 by CPA Practice Advisor. Sean, thanks so much for joining us today.
How you guys doing? Happy to be here.
Sean, I'm really excited you're here. That's like, I feel like I've seen you a lot at a lot of conferences. We've crossed paths all the time. I don't know anything about you. You're like, oh, it's the guy that's always overdressed for accounting conferences.
Pretty much, yeah.
Suit and tie, regardless of anything else. So like, fill me in, like, who are you? How did you become who you are? You know, you're a PhD. We really would love to understand how you got here.
Yeah, sure. And probably I took a pretty sort of normal path at first, right? I graduated high school. I was, you know, in college doing my undergrad. I got my undergrad in accounting. Then I rolled it into a 5-year master's program to get those 150. Then I ended up sitting for the exam, passed all four parts of my CPA exam. Then I went to work. You know, so up until that point, it was all pretty straightforward. Then I was working in industry, worked for a few firms in industry for, I'd say, about seven and a half years. But while I was working in industry, I kept having this thought over and over again that I wanted to do something more, right? I wanted to, you know, to be different, to really, you know, pop out. And, you know, in the part of the country that I'm from, sort of the greater NYC area, it's awfully tough to sort of stand out, right? Because there are thousands of people that have their MBAs, are CPAs, and are, you know, totally qualified. So I kept looking for, you know, ways and opportunities that I could sort of make myself pop out. And so at that point, then I started to actually look into getting my doctorate, right? But I didn't want to get a doctorate in accounting, right? Because I figured I was already boring enough, right? I was already boring enough. And so I didn't want to get a doctorate in accounting. So I actually ended up getting a doctorate in corporate strategy and innovation.
A little
different. And so all of that really opened up, you know, like a whole new way of analyzing your problems, your businesses, and opportunities. And so then, you know, I've been sort of, you know, trying to use what I learned, right, about strategy and about innovation and about finding opportunities in the market to help me sort of chart a path that I think is pretty cool and that I think does help me sort of pop out in the marketplace.
So, Sean, you are a teacher or a professor. Yeah. And so are you teaching accounting? Are you teaching strategy? What are you teaching and what are you telling your students about the future of accounting?
Ah, excellent questions, Blake. So I'd say probably the actual course content that I cover is all of sort of that normal stuff, intermediate to advanced accounting and advanced accounting theory, right? All those really fun classes. But what I'm trying to do more and more is to weave in some of the topics that I'm the most passionate about and that I really think are going to be driving tremendous change out there for anybody working in accounting or in finance, right? And maybe anything to do with blockchain, AI, or anything to do with the also the cryptocurrency area. I'm trying to more and more sort of weave those topics into the courses that I teach and any sort of presentations that I'm doing.
Well, that's great to hear, because when I was taking advanced accounting, the most advanced we got on a technology from a technology perspective was flowcharts that showed tape drives.
Yeah. It's a little different out there now.
Yeah, I'm glad I know the symbol for a tape disc system. Yeah, I
mean, right? Good to know. Obviously. It comes in so handy.
Yes.
Well, especially with the cloud accounting.
Yeah, because you definitely want to take it out of the cloud and put it onto a tape drive.
That's the point,
just
right?
Just for, in case there's a nuclear attack. Yeah.
So Sean, I know you dropped that magic word, Bitcoin, blockchain, right? I feel like at a conceptual level, most people in our space, including me and possibly Blake, we understand like blockchain because how that will affect audit, right? It kind of goes very hand in hand. It's very easy to understand, right? But how's like blockchain going to affect all the rest of these industry, like small business transactions, payments? Like, can you kind of like, what's your spiel and your thoughts on that?
I'd agree with that, right? That at this point, probably everybody has a general idea and an overview of what blockchain is, right? It's a decentralized, sort of data management system, basically. And some of the applications out there that are going to impact sort of payments and transaction processings, I do want to just toss out a sort of your caveat now. And that really sort of a lot of the work going on is still in that sort of pilot stage phase. But sort of the underlying infrastructure of how a private blockchain would work would actually get rid of a lot of the friction and the time delays, right? When it comes to payments and transactions, right? For example, right, when any of us go either onto Amazon or out and we purchase something on a credit card, right? It's a relatively quick and painless process for us usually. Right? It takes about, 10 seconds? But then the actual confirmation and the settling of that transaction on the back end can take 2 to 3 days to actually settle. But if your merchants and the customers and everybody is using a cryptocurrency, whether it's Bitcoin or something else that we haven't even heard of yet, if we are using a cryptocurrency running on a blockchain platform, because all of those transactions are uploaded on a continuous basis and then pinged out to everybody else in that network, including the merchant and the customer who are engaged in that transaction right now, it's a much faster and much more efficient sort of back-end office settlement of those transactions. So that was a long way of saying that basically anything that has to do with the passing of information from party A to party B that is going to have any sort of confirmation you built into it is going to be changed.
So I want to go back to something that that David said. He sort of glossed over this blockchain affecting audit question, right? Which I keep hearing about. People keep writing how blockchain is going to reduce the audit. It's going to reduce your, billable hours, your audit, because you're no longer going to have to be doing whatever. And I'm never really clear on what it is that you're not going to be doing, having not done audit myself. And like, it just seems to me that for blockchain to really make a difference with audit, first, most transactions would have to be occurring on a blockchain, which is not going to happen for a really long time, it seems to me. And second, the information that's on that blockchain is really just, how much value was transferred and from who to whom and when. All these other details as such how the transaction is classified according to GAAP is not going to be on the blockchain, right? And you still have to audit that. So is this really going to change audit, or is this overblown hyperbole?
Sure. I'll try to.
Set me straight, Sean.
So I say that probably like right now the hype and the buzz around blockchain probably has gotten a bit out in front of how it actually works right now, right? Because in order for the blockchain to actually have a big impact on an audit, you are totally right. Most of the information that it is going to be audited is going to have to be on a blockchain. And if we even take a higher level view, in order for the information and the transactions to be on the blockchain, that is also going to mean that all of the organizations that are involved are going to have to be on a blockchain platform. and that all of those different blockchains are going to have to talk to each other. And as we all know, anytime that any two or three companies try to get their IT systems to work together, there are always going to be problems, right? And so blockchain right now is that buzzword, right? It's like it's like catnip for us right now, right? But I do think that there are some questions that still have to be answered. And even at a more sort of basic audit level, I mean, all of the information can be on that blockchain, but if the underlying controls and processes as to who can upload information onto the blockchain, who can verify data on the blockchain, and then who is in charge of managing access in terms of both access into the blockchain and access to the public key and the private key setup to actually encrypt that that information are internal controls. And if those internal controls aren't good, aren't up to par, then the audit itself isn't going to be worth anything.
Yeah, that's a fantastic point, because like we might be doing fewer confirmations, right? Of like cash confirmations are a big deal right now, right? We might be doing fewer of those, but then the work should definitely increase when it comes to internal control testing, because blockchain is so complicated. And actually, that's a follow-up question I have for you, which is like, how are auditors going to be able to audit the blockchain when they don't understand it?
That's a great question, Blake. And probably one of the few instances right now of a firm actually auditing information on a blockchain. And I do want to take a step back first, though, and sort of emphasize the point that there are some great services out there that can actually allow a individual to then go trace back a block of information, the individual block itself via its hash ID. But at a institutional level, the only case that I've sort of really seen of a accounting firm being able to audit information on a blockchain was at one of the big four firms that has launched a pilot program with a portion of the information at one of their clients. So it's coming, but it's not coming as fast as everybody might think right now, based on the headlines.
So I think you were saying like this is still catnip, like it's super, super early. It's still pilot. So kind of like where are we in this? And what I mean by that is like there's a lot of web standards, right? There's a standard for OpenID. There's web standards that everybody agrees to use for OAuth. Even going back to like to the 90s, what defined a multimedia PC and what defined a multimedia PC too, right? Like there's associations and there's been standard set that everybody's agreed upon. Even like your Wi-Fi, this is why your laptop works when you go to a Starbucks and it works when you go to your home, because like all those Wi-Fi connections are all based on standards. So is there a governing board yet, or is anybody trying to build standards? Are you the president of this, Sean? Like, is this happening yet in our space? Because I just don't see this all happening without like there being some agreed upon communication mechanisms, if you want to
call it. And that's an excellent point there, Dave. And I mean, there are a whole bunch of groups out there trying to put together some ideas and some sort of working sort of guidelines, but as far as I know, there is no sort of governing body. You know, there is no oversight board who is overseeing sort of the,
You found your next project.
Yeah, right? and actually that point also raises a interesting point that in 2017 alone, right, there were over 900 different cryptocurrencies launched. And so each of those individual 900 new cryptocurrencies launched had to run on their own individual blockchains. So there are hundreds and thousands of different blockchains out there right now. And sort of due to the nature of the concept itself, the blockchain is a decentralized idea. So basically due to how the concept works and how the technology works that underpins it, there is no one person or a council or a group of people overseeing those exact issues. Like is information stored on company A's blockchain going to be able to be interfaced with anything else? And the answer to that right now is a no. There is nobody out there doing that right now.
Sounds like it's just a huge adoption challenge. Because it almost feels like, hey, if you're with firm A, you're on blockchain A. Well, and if you switch to firm B, you got to put in a different server and you got to track your blockchain differently on their technology Absolutely. Stack. It's kind of interesting.
If accountants, controllers, CFOs want to learn more about blockchain and how it affects the accounting profession, where can they go? Because I haven't seen a whole lot of stuff online. There's not like a clearinghouse of information at this point about accounting and the or blockchain in the accounting profession. Or is there? And I just haven't found it yet.
No, I'd say that probably the one thing that's coming out, and it's coming out actually relatively soon. I know that I've been doing some work with the AICPA. They're actually developing a course certificate program as we speak, and I've been doing some work with them and some other individuals who they've called in to help them sort of get this up and running. I believe that they're going to be rolling out that program within the next 4 to 6 weeks. And there are some other groups out there, the Accounting Blockchain Coalition, based here on the East Coast, and there is the Wall Street Blockchain Alliance that I've been working with also. So there are different groups and bodies out there. There's the Blockchain Council. I mean, there are different groups out there who are trying to help educate, you know, people in all industries. But as far as like anything for accounting and finance specifically right now, I'd say that you should see some of that coming out either in like the next month or so, or definitely by the fourth quarter of this year.
Kind of relating this back to where we're at, right? We're still doing lots of paper checks, correct? In the States, right? Zillions of paper checks still. So maybe if somebody's not really, even when we talk blockchain, kind of even taking a step back. So if the paper checks had a blockchain, you'd be able to see after you write that check and you hand it to whoever you hand it to, every single person that holds that check as it moves through the whole process up through the ACH clearinghouses and back down, like you would be able to know who's touching that check along the way, and you'd be able to see that on the chain.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. I mean, any piece of information that's uploaded and is then added into the blockchain, then anybody at any point in time has access to them to see sort of what is going on with that data.
So do you see checks going away when we have blockchain? Or do you think it just accents checks?
I think that that paper checks are probably going to go away for some other reasons, right? Just because it's more efficient to do things online, as opposed to going away just because of a new technology platform. I'd say that checks are probably going to fade away due to the current tools out there.
Blockchain, artificial intelligence, these are all fun things, as you said. A little bit of catnip. Or maybe it was David who said that at the beginning. So let's talk a bit, you know, along these lines, more about practical steps that we can take now to improve efficiency, automation in our accounting departments and our firms. Is there anything other than eliminating paper checks that is your favorite technology of the moment that like people can actually go and buy and use right now?
I mean, I try to not endorse any specific tool or any specific firm usually, just to avoid any conflicts for me, but I'd say probably two to three concepts that I always try to emphasize whenever I'm working with anybody is if there are any processes or any emails even that you have people on your staff, either at the staff level or even at a senior level, if there are any emails or any processes that happen over and over again, make a, you know, basic template that has most of that information. And then as the month changes or as the, you know, or as the individual client name changes, then that information can be updated, right? I mean, don't manually do it over and over again each and every month. And actually here's a funny story, right? So one of the biggest sort of manual time wasters on my end personally is trying to book appointments, right? You know, whether it's interviews, mm-hmm. phone calls, in-person meetings, whatever it is. And I was going back and forth with Ed Kless, I guess back in February, and I was going back and forth with him over email trying to book a time for us to get together to record a episode of his show. And then he tagged his admin, Amy. And so I was going back and forth with her trying to get this date on the books. And then I asked her some other question, right? I asked her some other non sort of meeting question. And then Amy answered me, and she told me that actually she was an AI bot, and that she was only able to answer questions that had to deal with the booking appointments for Ed, right? So I was mm-hmm. I was surprised, right? Because I thought that I was dealing with a person, but any of those types of processes, right? Anything that has to do with any calendar management, any voicemail management, even or even if you work at a firm or if your firm has a client that has a robust sort of online portal, online sort of chat function, you know, any of those areas are ripe to be automated, right? And currently there are tools out there right now, and there are firms out there right now that really offer out of the box right options, right? That pretty much firms can tweak, customize, but are able to get up and running.
That's a great point. Yeah. Anything that is going on in email right now can probably get out of email and be automated. And it makes sense because email's been around for what, 30 years, so we ought to have some better solutions by now.
I love, Sean, that you're the PhD in accounting, right? And you're coming out and you're telling people automate stuff, but you're not even telling them to automate accounting stuff yet. Just like, just do your email, do your calendar appointments, like really at a high level to start there. Don't even, because the benefit of that is huge, right? And it ripples into the rest.
Well, it makes sense, right? Because probably 50% of what we do in the accounting profession has nothing to do with accounting. It's just administrative crap, right? It's just scheduling appointments. It's sending documents back and forth. It's not anything that we got trained to do. And if we can get rid of that, then we can just spend twice as much time on the stuff that we actually got into the profession for.
There's not email 101 class that Sean teaches.
We should create that. It could be an online class, how to get out of email. We'd just be salespeople for Slack, right?
I think David brought up a excellent point. I mean, actually automating the accounting function is off still in the future, right? I'm always a big pusher of automating all of that junk work, right? All of that lower level work, so that we have more time to actually spend on doing the accounting and getting it right the first time, as opposed to having to go back over and over it again.
Yeah. Sorry. Great points. Hey, so Sean, if folks want to connect with you online, learn more about what you're up to, where can they do that?
I'm pretty easy to find online. Probably the two best places to find me are on Twitter, at Sean Steinsmith, and on LinkedIn, at Sean Steinsmith.
And David, if folks want to get in touch with you, suggest stories for the show, give us their feedback, where should they do that?
The easiest place is on Twitter. I'm at David Leary. And what about you, Blake?
I'm at Blake T. Oliver. Sean, it's been great having you on the show. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, thanks, Sean.
Awesome, guys. My pleasure.
Bye, everybody.